Like to welcome everyone out this morning. Glad y'all could come. Losing my voice now. We're thankful for each and every one of you. And so, in our second service here at Hillenwood Baptist Church, we got Brother Ray Bearden with us this morning. Remember him. He'll be coming forth here in a little bit to give you what the Lord laid on him. Remember Brother Dave and his family spoke to him yesterday, and he's sounding kind of like I am right now, but didn't sound very good at all. Remember him and Maggie, their whole family there. Supposed to be back here next Sunday with us. Remember that. Remember the Lord to take care of him. Remember our country. Remember our leaders of our country. Prayer each and every day. We need to be praying for our leaders, praying for our country, praying for our county. Remember our church. Pray for our church each and every day. Where we're at right now with the two services. Sure, it's going to change one day, and you know, it could not. We may stay like this forever, but I don't think it's going to. I think the Lord's going to take care of us, bless us, and we're going to get back to where we was at one day. And I'm going to read here. I'm going to start in Psalms this morning. I think it's Psalms 5, and then we'll go to 1 Peter. But remember, we've got a few things going on too. We've got the two containers. Well, they're 2 6-by-6 boxes that we've got going to Africa. Remember that this morning. We're going to take up an offering for that too. We're going to take up a love offering at the end of the service for Brother Ray, and we'll take up an offering also for those two boxes that we've got going to Africa. It's going to cost us like $3,200 to ship these two boxes, so we'll probably be leaving with them sometime in September, I would think, because it's going to take a while for them to get there after we do get them to Boston. Just remember that. Anyways, here in Psalms chapter 5, I'm going to read the first three verses here. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." On over here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." We know the Lord don't like evil, don't like sin. But right here it says, "And his ears is open unto the prayers of the righteous." We pray that you pray for each and every one that's, pray for our church, pray for the people of the church is the people here, the saved. We ask you to pray for each and every one of them. Remember, like I said, the prayers I ask you this morning, Dave and the church and the boxes we got going to Africa. Remember each and every one of those. Ask the ones to come forth. It's going to take the offering up this morning, and Brother Ronnie's going to lead us in a congregational song here. So each and every one that will stand and...
Hymn number 318.
Brother Allen, if you don't care, lead us in prayer. Anybody got a special song on your heart this morning? Okay. Natalie? You always got a special song in your heart. You sure? Okay. If you get ready by the end of the service, you can come after at the end. Brother Ray, we'll ask you to come on and give us what the Lord laid on you.
Again, I guess that I was long-winded in the other two services, so they're going to give me plenty of time in this one. It sure is a joy to be here. God sure is good in the midst of the storms of life. It's still good just to know the Lord. Some of you have been here for all the day, the whole service. That's good. God bless you. If you could put up with me three times in a day, and then I'll be back tonight at 6. So I hope you'll come back tonight if you can. It's always a little awkward, and I don't know why it would be in some ways, except the pastor is the man that God has assigned to the church to lead the flock, and he's not here, but he wants to be here. I'm sure you know that from the depths of his soul. He and his family would like to be here, and I think he'll be back next Sunday. And it worked out. I was supposed to be here tonight for the service, because he is going to be gone some, and he wanted to fill the pulpit. And so he said, "You just come for the night service." And I said, "Well, that'll be good." And then he called and said, "I've got this virus, and I need you to come in the morning." Well, he didn't tell me the whole story, and I said, "Well, I can handle that." I thought, "Well, I'll go up about, I might get here for Sunday school. If I don't, I'll get here for the preaching hour and 11 o'clock, and that won't be too bad." And then on Saturday or Friday afternoon, he dropped the bombshell on me. Does he do you all that way? And he dropped the bombshell on me, and he said, "Now, preacher, I don't know where I told you this or not, but," he said, "we have two services on Sunday morning plus the Sunday school." And I said, "Two services?" He said, "Yes, because of this virus that's going." He said, "We have one at 9 o'clock, and I need you to preach that. And then," he said, "we have another at 11 o'clock, and need you to preach that. And then," he said, "you can come back Sunday night and preach again." And then he said, "I got a brother that can handle the Sunday school, but if you want to, you can just do that." So I was talking to someone yesterday, and I said, I've got four services Sunday. Do you know of anywhere I could preach Sunday afternoon? As young as I am, that should be no problem. Well, there's a good spirit in the church, and God bless you. I was here in the funeral of Sister Claudia Gore. I told the people in the last hour, and Brother M.C. said he'd like to get here if he possibly could, but he's really struggling with his health. So I hope that you will pray for him. They got saved under my ministry at Calvary when I pastored there for those many years, and they were great people in that church. So we bless the Lord for them. I guess that I've heard Billy Mitchell's name more since I got here than anybody. And I got a couple of his books. He preached these messages at our church at Calvary in Kingston. He used to preach there all the time when he's alive. And this one is on repentance. Nobody can beat him on repentance. And it's in print, and Help for the Helpless. I wish you'd go by the table. I don't think we got any more in the car, but I'll have some tonight. I wish you'd get one of those if you'd like to have it. Okay? We've got other books there. I don't want to say too much about the books. I'm here to preach. But we are evangelizing and getting the Word of God out since I stepped down as pastor where I was. And I don't have this mic on, but now I do. Okay? I think we're ready to go. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And this is a great chapter in the Bible. All the Bible is a great chapter for that matter. But some seem to have more emphasis in areas of interest maybe than others. And in this 12th chapter, you have somewhat of a change. But I'm going to read verse 28, 29, and 30. And then, I'm going to come back and make some comments about some of the other verses a little bit. And then I will come back and try to deal with these three verses. The Bible said in Matthew 12, or 11 rather, and verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen. Well, we need rest in these days, don't we? The first verse has to do with rest in Christ. Rest because you've come to Jesus. Watch what he goes on to say in the next verse. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find" what? "Rest unto your souls." Now, I'm going to deal with those two verses, but I want to read verse 30. "For my yoke is easy and my burdens is light." What great verses. Now, the Lord has been teaching and preaching, but before him, John the Baptist had been preaching, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So John was preaching repentance, and the Jews rejected John's preaching. They rejected John's message that you'd repent. What do you repent of? You repent of sin. You fall out with sin. You will never get saved if you're not saved until you get tired of sin. You get tired of sin enough that you'll turn to God, turn to Jesus. He is ready to take you in. But he will not take you in until you're ready to give up the sinning business and you can't save yourself. He, it is the gift of God. And I bless him that that's so. But then after John had preached, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand," Jesus comes along and he preaches. And you know what the religious people did, and you know what religion's doing in our day? I wouldn't give anything to get you to just claim to be religious. In fact, you'd probably be better off that you don't claim to be religious if you don't know Jesus. Because that religion may take you to hell. Amen. The only way you can go to heaven is through Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the way to salvation. Amen. So keep this in mind. When you witness, well, I don't get much results. Well, just keep obeying. Keep doing what the Lord told you. John preached and a lot of people didn't hear John. One of the greatest preachers, no doubt, in all of the ages. But then, here was something that's more shocking. Jesus preached. Not everyone heard Jesus. They turned their back on the Lord. Now, folks, this is serious business. But in our land, for the big part, most people have turned their back on the Lord. You're fortunate, you know, just to be in a neighborhood where some people will hear the word of God. Can you believe that a governor of the state, like the governor of the state of New York, would say, when this virus came there and
people was dying, and they didn't really, well, I better be careful there. But they were dying, and then it started going down. There was not as many dying. And he said, it's coming down. And he said, we did it. He said, God didn't do it. We did it. Now, I don't know too much, but I do know that could be close to blasphemy. Amen. Amen? To say that we did it. But what has happened across the land is our nation have turned their back on God. Amen. For the most part. Now, church, please listen to me. And please be serious. I'm not here to rake you over the coals, because this is a good church, and no doubt there's great Christians in this church. I'm here, though, to challenge you to really be a people of prayer and a people of the Word during these difficult days. I don't know how long the virus will last. Nobody knows how long it'll last. Even the scientists, they miss it more than they hit it. But I do know one thing, God is not nervous. Amen. And God is not shook up. Amen. And God knows what's going on. And if you're faith in him, you'll be all right. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, our good friend, Brother Mitchell, the last time I heard him preach, and I heard him say this more than once, he said, this nation is reprobated. I believe there's a lot of people that's reprobated. There's no hope for them when they just go on and on and on in sin. But I don't know who all they are. So the Lord said, you go and I will honor you telling people about Christ. We ought to tell her. Folks, I don't believe we got long. To get our loved ones in. To get our children, our grandchildren, if they're not in. Our brothers or sisters or neighbors or whoever it may be. That God would help us. God would help me. I need help, don't you? Amen. The Lord would help us. And he said, now, if Bethesda, if you people in Bethesda, you people in Capernaum, if Sodom and Gomorrah had heard the preaching that you've heard, they would have repented. I'm telling you, there's a lot of preaching been done in America that's been good Bible preaching, and people have chose not to hear it. I'd say that's happened right here in this church down through the ages, hasn't it? Are you listening close to me? The most serious thing that you could ever do is to reject God. Amen. Reject God's word. Reject the Savior that come into this world to die upon the old rugged cross and shed his precious blood that is sufficient to cleanse any man, woman, boy, or girl that'll come to Christ Jesus in repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, how I pray that our nation would wake up and our nation would repent. But you know what? The Spirit of God just brought it to my mind that the Lord said in Peter, judgment must first begin at the house of God. Now, what does that mean, preacher? That means I need to judge myself. I'm a preacher. I'm just filling in today, but I'm still the preacher today. What does that mean? That means the deacons, Sunday school teachers, the faithful people of the church, We need to judge ourselves in the light of what? In the light of the Word of God. We need to be men and women of prayer. That seems to be what God's really put in my heart. I didn't realize it so much until I started preaching, both in the both hours. Oh, how we need to come to the Lord. How we need to look to Him. Well, I don't know how much rest you can find it in Christ. Now, I don't like this virus. I wish it'd go away. But I do want to tell you this. I got rest in Jesus. My wife's at home. Her health is bad. And it would not, you know, it'd really be bad if she got it. She got this virus. And I'm careful where I go. I don't go when I don't need to. But I'm going to preach. I believe that's what God wants me to do still. And when the preacher wanted me to come to all these services, I spoke to my wife and I said, how do you feel about me being gone that long? And she said, you go on, I'll be fine. You go on and preach. Of course, she don't tell me what to do. You wouldn't think, would you? But nevertheless, she's my responsibility. Amen. We got married 63 years ago, and she's my responsibility. Amen. So I'm going to do what's right as best I know. Now, that's just part of another message. I'm bad to run rabbits down trails, Now I'm going to come to the heart of this message, three verses. And I'm going to preach them, and we're going home. I want to look at these. Now, look at the first one that he talks here. The first one he talks about is salvation in verse 28. The Bible said in verse 28, come unto me. That's Jesus speaking. Now, if you'll turn your heart to God, if you'll come to Jesus, the devil will tell you that he don't love you, that he don't care about you. But if you come to Jesus, that's how you get saved.
Amen.
You turn from everything else. You don't trust yourself. You don't trust your tears. You don't trust anything but Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me. And when you come to an altar, don't just come to an altar. Come to Jesus. If you're lost, come to Jesus. If you're saved and you get ready to pray, come to Jesus. Come to the Lord. Come unto me. Who is to come? Who can come? Bible said, come unto me, all. All. Any man, woman, boy, girl that will come to Christ. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, you may not realize this if you're a lost sinner, but he's talking to sinners. Sin is a load. Sin will get your life messed up. Are you listening to me? That's why he's saying, come to me, all you that labor. You're laboring hard under sin. That's why you don't have joy. That's why you don't have rest. That's why you don't have peace. If you don't have joy and you don't have rest and you don't have peace, you need to bring it all to Jesus. The Son of God, the risen Christ. Oh, he's a wonderful Lord. I've grown in the Lord, but I would not take anything for my journey. Praise God, it's just wonderful. It's good to be a Christian. Well, what about all the disappointments? I'd have had more if I had not have come to Jesus. The worst day in my life since I've become a Christian is better than the best day I had before I come to know Christ. Now, I'm not going to tell you if you come to Christ, all your troubles are going to be over. You better not believe that if anybody tells you that. But if he's going to be on the other side of the yoke, I believe we'll be all right, don't you? Amen. Come unto me, all ye that labored, you're weighted down with sin. I remember that big old house we lived in. It was just a farmhouse. One August night, I was in bed. Had that big window raised. Didn't even know what air condition was. But I couldn't have known how to spell it. Didn't even know what air conditioning was. Amen. One night, something awoke me. I don't think I hadn't even gone to sleep. There was a sound. The sound was off to the east. Folks had been praying for me, and I didn't know I was in the condition I was in. And you know what I thought it was? I thought the Lord's a-coming. My grandmother tell me, you chillin'. That's what you call us, chillin'. You tell them, I'm praying for you. Your grandmother, you may be the greatest preacher there is in the house. Amen. If you're praying for your grandkids, your great-grandkids, I believe that's what caught up with me. I think it was my mother and my grandmother's prayers. Amen. And I heard that sound. I thought, oh, Lord, the Lord's a-coming. That's Jesus coming. Now, I reckon why I was afraid. I was a church member, had my name on the church roll, but you know what was wrong with me? I'd never been born again. And, oh, my folks, I'm telling you, I reached down and got that sheet and I pulled it up over my head. My heart was going, bibbidi-plop, bibbidi-plop. I thought, I thought it was going to jump out of my chest. I thought, he's coming. And all of a sudden, I heard this whistle. And it's 8 or 10 miles from our house. And it's that old freight. God used that freight to put a fear in my soul. If Jesus comes, I'm not ready to meet him. Are you ready to meet him? Do you know him? If he were to come today, are you prepared to meet Christ? I finally went off to sleep, and I went from August to March, and the thoughts had come to me once in a while. But oh, that spring meeting. In the month of March in 1957, the man of God preached, and I was sitting back there on pew 3. And the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of my heart. They sing one invitation number, sing two invitation number. And I was reasoning with God, and I said, Lord, they sing another verse, I'm going to go down there. And that preacher stood up and he looked out through there and he looked like he looked all the way through me and he said, we're going to sing another verse. And he said, this verse is for you. And when they started that next verse, I got down there to that old altar and the God of heaven saved me. Somebody said, did you get gloriously saved? I believe anybody that really gets saved gets gloriously saved. Amen. I never have got over it. It's all right to give you testimony, isn't it? Paul told it everywhere he went. I got to move on. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, Now we'll give you rest. I've seen the drunk saved. There's a man in our church. He had one of the best wives. Had two children. And he is on, he's in our church now. Well, our pastor. And his wife just stayed true and she just did right. He was on drugs and alcohol. And he came to one of our meetings. Guess who was preaching? We don't mean to. We want to glorify God. We don't want to glorify man. But I just happened to think Brother Billy Mitchell was preaching that night. And this guy was sitting over here on the right. Brother Mitchell preached on salvation like he always could, like a few men. And Jimmy Davis got up out of his seat. And he came down that altar. And I tell you, when folks come to the altar, this way I do them. I let them stay there for a while. I don't fool with them. If I preach or some men of God's preach, let them pray. I don't mean you don't instruct them, but let them pray. Leave them alone. They need to talk to God.
Amen.
Amen. God's the one that's going to save them. Yes. You're not going to save them. I'm not going to save them. I can instruct them, but if I preached about 30 minutes, 45 or an hour, I believe I've instructed them pretty good. Amen.
Amen.
The one that's going to bring them is the Spirit of God. He's going to bring them to Jesus. And I went over there after a bit, and I got down beside of him, and I said, Jimmy, why'd you come? He said, I come to get saved. And I said, well, what's God done for you? He said, well, preacher, he said, I asked the Lord to save me. I said, you called on the Lord? He said, I did. He said, I called on the Lord. And I said, well, has he saved you, Jimmy? Jimmy said, well, preacher, I don't know. Nothing else to do. That's a good answer, wasn't it? Because the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. If you ever get saved, you're going to have to call on the Lord. Might be out in the cornfield, the garden. Might be down at the barn. Might be in your bedroom. Might be laying in the bed. One of the greatest preachers I ever know got saved laying in the bed. God got a hold of him and God saved him and he preached for years. I mean, you know, he could preach. I'm moving slow, right? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I never had such rest. That night, oh, I was so excited. I was so excited that night because I knew my sins was gone. I've been excited a lot since through these years. So you have salvation and then you have service. The Bible said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, for I am meek and lowly in heart and you shall find rest unto your soul. There's three words, there's three verses, but there's three words here. Are you saved? You truly are saved? You know what he said once you're saved? He said, take. That's the first word. Take what? Your yoke upon you. That means getting a harness. I grew up in the cotton fields of Georgia, in the corn fields of Georgia. Peanut crop. We had them two big black horses. Somebody said they weighed close to 2 tons. I don't know. I know they were big horses. I plowed them when I was a teenage boy. My daddy'd roll me out of the bed early and I'd plow them horses. We'd put the harness on them. I'm going somewhere with this. And I would be in a, and you know, I'd be tired by lunch. Well, we didn't call it lunch then. We called it dinner. You plow, you get up about daylight and plow them mules to dinner time. There, it's not lunch time. It's dinner time. I mean, you need some beans on the table and corn on the table. And I'd come in and take them out and water them and give them something to eat. And then, in the midst of that, we'd go back to the field. One of the horses was a female and the other was a male, and in about middle of the afternoon, I'd give out, and the female, she'd get tired. But see, they were yoked together. But that male horse, he had the strength he needed. He didn't even know that we were tired, and he evidently wasn't tired. When I look at that, I think about how Jesus is. We're hooked up with Jesus. When you can't carry the load, no father. He's there to bear your load. Amen. When you seem like all you can do is weep, someone is ill or someone's sick, or you got a burden for family members or something's going on, death may come. He'll help you. He'll carry your yoke. Amen. He's carried my yoke through these many years, through a lot of thick and thin. You may have a burden now that you don't know what to do with. But I'm telling you, there's one that'll carry that burden for you. He said, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take it upon you. Get out there. Take responsibility. Help get out the word of God. Witness. Give out gospel tracts and booklets and support the word of God around the world. Yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And I ought to be meek and lowly in heart. I may not always be, but I ought to be. And you shall find what? Rest. Rest unto your soul. You know, there's peace with God, therefore being justified by faith. Yeah. Peace with God. Romans 5:1. But there's the peace of God. That is Philippians. And the peace of God is that daily walk with Jesus, and he'll give you that peace. Peace of God is when you leave your sins and you trust him. And he takes your sins away, and you got peace with God. You're not at war with God anymore. You've surrendered it all. Brought your soul, spirit, and life to Christ. Oh, praise God, it's so good to be saved. Well, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to make it. He said, you'll find rest for your soul. Verse 30 said, for my yoke is easy. You know why it's easy? Because he's on the other end. He's on the other side. He's bearing your load. My yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Praise God, isn't that good? You got a burden, you got something you don't know hardly how to handle. Some of you got burdens. You can see it in people's eyes when you preach and you mention those things and they think, I've got burdens. I don't know what your burdens are. I don't even need to know, but I tell you what, you can share it with Jesus. You can come to him. My yoke is easy, and my burdens is light. That's our Lord. That's our Lord. Oh, how I saw so many turn him away. But oh, I saw so many that come to him. I think about a man right now. I'm going to be done. His name was Bobby. And I'd try to catch Bobby at home, and I changed my times when I was going to see him. That's a good way to do, is keep after him. I kept visiting Bobby. And I finally got him to church. And I was preaching from the book of Romans one Sunday morning. Bobby's sitting back here on the left, way in the back. And boy, the Spirit of God was here that day, was there that day, and he was working. Old Brother Rosser came, and he grew up here at Oneida. Wayne Phil Rosser. Man, could he lead that music. And he started singing that morning. Bobby come out in the pew. I never forget it. Never shall I forget it. And Bob said, oh, God. Oh, God, I'm lost. He said that. Way back there in the church, all the way down to that old altar. And he bowed over here on this side. You don't forget things like that. He's saying, oh, God, I'm lost. Oh, God, I'm lost. When you get there, he'll take that burden away.
Amen.
Amen. Would you like to bring your burdens to him this morning? You may not be saved. You may need to come as a lost person. Would you like to come this morning and lay your burden on the Lord? Maybe you're saved and you know God and you're struggling. Maybe there's something in your home or something in your life, you know, and you just got burdens. You need to come. Our brother's going to come, and he's going to give us an invitation song. And the pianist is going to come right now. And we're going to stand. And we're going to sing. What's our number, brother?
191.
191. 181. Sounds to me like that might be just I am. If you need to come, anybody need to come, if you do this, come on down. Get on your knees and call on the Lord.
Just as I am without.
Just come just like you are. You don't need to improve. You just need to come like you are. And Jesus will take care of the rest. You know, in a service like this, there's always two voices. One of them is the voice of the devil. And he's telling you, don't go now. You can go another time. Or if I was you, I wouldn't go down there. Somebody's liable to laugh at you. There's no telling what the devil will tell you. He may tell you, you got plenty of time. You can take care of this another time. But there's another voice. You know what voice that is? That's the voice of God by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he's saying, why don't you come? Come now. That's what he said here in the text. Come unto me. He's saying, come unto me and come now. I'll take care of matters if you'll bring them to me. He's the one. We're going to sing another verse.
Just as I am in waiting on.
Would you come? Would you come? God spoke to you. Now, I don't like long invitations, but if they had not have sung that third verse the night I got saved, I might not have ever got saved. And in this service, there's somebody that's nervous-like. They're struggling. And it could be that we will just sing another verse. Maybe this is your verse. What if I had not have come that night? I'm sure if I had not have come, I'd be in hell today. I'm sure of that. The road I was headed down, God saved me. There's somebody in this church right now. They're in this building, and you really need to come. I don't know. You may be a lost person. You may just have something in your life, or you just may have a burden, and maybe you can't even share it with nobody else. I wish you'd come. We're going to sing one more verse. Nobody comes, we'll change the service. Will you come? We'd like to pray with you if you'd come. I hope you'll come. God's talking to you. God's speaking to you. The Spirit of God's dealing with you. Why don't you come? What about it? Thank you so much. You've listened well. Some of you have been here for the whole time. And I hope you'll come back tonight. 6 o'clock service, right? So I hope you will come back tonight. And we'll try to have a Bible message for you. And pray for your preacher. Pray for the pastor. I'm sure you're doing that. And let's just do what we can do. Brother, you come and you take the service. The books is back there. And if you have any questions, I've got tapes. Maybe some of Brother Mitchell's tape. Some of my pastor's tapes. And then there's just a lot of books back there. And there's no cost on the books we print. I've got some that there is a cost on. But I've got these of Brother Mitchell, and I'll bring some more tonight, okay? Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you for the message the Lord laid on you. Enjoyed that. Remember tonight, bring someone with you. Good crowd here for the second service. Last week we were really down on the second service, but today is a great crowd. Enjoyed it. Remember the Gore family. He lost his sister this week, didn't he? Remember them. Dave told me he was going to try to, that the old, I forgot his name. He was going to go, the Gore guy, was going to try to go to Texas to the funeral there of his sister. Remember that? Remember every one, Dave's family there. Just remember tonight's service, 6 o'clock.